Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the support me in the whirling flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Dressed in His righteousness and love, far blessed to stand before the throne. Far blessed to stand before the throne. Far blessed to stand before the throne.
Good morning, church. Happy Veterans Day. This is one of those rare weekends where it's the Marine Corps birthday was yesterday. Today is Veterans Day. It's a weekend about service, right? Service and sacrifice. If you guys have been here long enough, you've seen my laptop. This is what I believe about service and sacrifice to our country, to our Lord. So I want to just say thank you, everybody who served. Can you get a quick raise of hands? Who's a veteran here? All right. So everybody around you is also a veteran. Because if you served overseas, really, your family has sacrificed as much as you did. So I want to recognize them as well today. All right, let's stand up and rejoice in the Lord this morning. So this song is just about, asking the Lord to flood our soul. Just flood our soul, flood this church today, fill our hearts.
Smile. soul free from thirst for lower things, frivolous thrills, wrench my soul,
flood my soul,
flood my soul, whelming thoughts, abundantly filled with passionate fire, flood my soul,
keep my days, come on.
Keep my days for your glory.
Secure my heart.
Secure my heart for your ways. Oh, 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 oh. I cling to you, oh, Lord of all, strong deliverer. All my life is yours. Oh, 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 oh. Surrender everything I am to you, my only hope. All my life is yours. Oh.
Stir my soul.
Stir my soul. Display your radiant love, stir my soul,
keep my days, come on, church.
Keep my days for your glory, secure my heart for your ways. Oh, 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 oh. I cling to you, oh, Lord. Set my gaze to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Ignite my love for your name. Set my gaze to the kingdom. Ignite my love for your name.
So we're going to sing this next song. It's about making a choice. You know, this song is what kind of brought me to worship. This is the first song I played in church. You know, I hope it's the last song I play in church. That'd be an awesome way for God to, like, you know, make that full circle he always seems to do. You're like, wow, you know, it didn't make sense through my whole journey. But
exactly
now,
what you ask for, dude.
Well, I know. No, but that's what I want, though. Now, God doesn't get what you want, though, right? It's always like something different. But this song is all about, it's about the challenge of, like, making a choice. You know, what do we choose? What do we choose to serve? Who do we serve? You know, so this song is all about that. You know, if you may be watching today online, you know, maybe you didn't make that choice yet. You're just checking it out, you know. What's this Christian thing all about? what are these guys doing on this service? What are they going to talk about today? You know, so maybe today is your day. Make that choice. Choose today to serve. Sing, so I take my ear out. You know, one ear for you guys and one ear for my piano, so. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness.
darkness watch and pray, finding me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Father, as we come before you here in this moment, yeah, the weather's a little bit different. Yeah, we've been through a different week, and we're getting closer to that holiday season, and we're maybe some of us are experiencing that winter depression or whatever it may be, but God, we are here to connect and meet with you and worship you. And so, God, right now, as we remain standing and continue in our worship, as we receive your tithe and our offerings, God, multiply that and use that, just as that boy with the loaves of fish we talked about, that this is what we're giving to you, so that we're giving back to you, God, so that you can multiply and meet the many needs here and around the world. And we'll give you praise in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die.
Stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Greet the people around you. We're going to send our kids now to our Shoreline Sunday School and say hello. All right, good morning, everyone. We hope that you're warm. Everybody warm? Changed, didn't it? Weather changed a lot. So we're glad that you're all here. First of all, we want to welcome any visitors. Welcome any visitors here. Also welcome our visitors with church online. And we're glad that you're part of our worship today. You can take a look at some of the information that we have here next week if you're interested about learning about Haven or becoming a member. We are going to have something briefly after church. There are also sign-ups over here in the Bell Cafe. Paris Foundation is also next week. We're good? Okay, great. So we're good there. If you'd like to continue with help with that, you can see the other information about footprints and also... We have some information about angel gowns, and you can read that in there. Haiti Mission Fundraiser, we are doing Joe Corby's fundraiser from now until next week. Seems like the 18th is a lot of big stuff, so if you want to mess with everybody for Thanksgiving and give them all Joe Corby's pizzas, buy a whole bunch of them, and really shock them, okay? Thanksgiving food collections, we're going to have somebody talk a little bit for that, and the turkeys. For the VFW, you have those information there. I knew that the turkeys for VFW do need to be cooked. I know that. Stockings for soldiers, we have an insert. This is a perfect day for that as we recognize veterans. You have an insert here that has a lot of different information. Last year, we really rocked it out, did a great job. Want to continue to do that. And all these stockings for soldiers, please don't include the other items that are there, but it tells you tons of things to put in there, and you will be returning those Sunday, December 2nd, which will be there. All the information is on here. If you have any other concerns, you can ask, and we will make sure that you get those connected. And then Hope for Haiti. This is to support the women of Gressier with the purchase of their handmade goods. For more information, Debbie DiVirgilio has been sitting out here and has some of those. These are the ladies from the community that we serve, that our sister church, our first sister church in Haiti is in, Haven Community Church down there. And they are making this and sending this up, and this is how they support their families. So they would make great Christmas gifts and other kinds of things. Please go ahead and check those things out. And also Grief Share is continually meeting. We want to go ahead and you can still connect to that. I believe Beth, where is she? She here? There you are, Beth. I think you're going to come share. Let me grab a microphone here. I'll grab Becky's microphone for you. So there you go. Thank
you. All right. Good morning. My name's Beth Creek. I'm a member of Haven, and I'm also the executive director of an agency in Cecil County that serves at-risk children and youth called Youth Empowerment Source, or sometimes known as the YES Program. We work with about 1,000 children in Cecil County every year. Some of those children, many of them are impacted by parental incarceration and parental addiction. And the reason why I'm speaking to you today is because for the past, well, this will be the third year, we have received baskets, turkey baskets, from Haven to distribute to our families that we serve. Many of the families that we serve are grandparents raising grandchildren because of the drug epidemic. And these are people in their 60s and 70s who have 3 and 4 children that they are caring for on a fixed income now. And it is really challenging for them financially. I mean, they have planned well for their golden years in some instances, but they have not planned to raise a second family at 65 years old. So when we receive those baskets from Haven, they make an enormous impact in the community. Our caseworkers take them out and deliver them personally. There's a message from us, and there's a message from all of you. Those bags have your name on the side, and we say, we hope this blesses you. It's a gift from Haven Community Church in Northeast. And I've had parents who have seen us when we come to the door, and we kind of surprise them usually with the baskets. We know who's in need. We're in the poorest communities in this county. And I've had parents cry when we've come to the door. I had a grandma tell me 2 years ago, she was living in a trailer out in Conowingo. She said, I can pay the electric bill now because I was determined we were going to have Thanksgiving. So she was choosing to buy groceries over her electric bill. And that's really powerful, right? So what you guys do when you bring these gifts in and we send them out into the community, it's very meaningful. They get out to the neediest families, people that you wouldn't imagine the circumstances they're living within. Some of them don't have running water. Some of them are living in public housing, but they may have 5 or 6 kids of their own, and then they may be raising their sister's 2 or 3 kids because she's incarcerated. So these are people in really deep need, and I just wanted to be able to share that with you this morning. It really does touch the community, and it means so much, and I want to thank you personally.
Thank you. All right, thank you. A lot of times we get caught up and just think it's, we're giving something. You don't realize the impact that it has. So I also know that one of the greatest avenues that we've had, people are very giving at this time of year, and so one of the things that we do is we are at 2 different Walmarts, is that right? And usually we sit out there, and people come out, and we have a big like barrel and stuff that they just fill. They just fill with stuff. We give them something and they go in. I know Donna is right now by herself at one Walmart, right? Yeah. Which one? Okay, so Joanna are going to be at Elkton. So if you're interested in helping out with that, you get to sit out there, you get to smile with people. Somebody will probably be ringing a bell here pretty soon. You can go ahead. This affects multiple lives. And then as we also know, we're collecting the turkeys that are going to be cooked and the meals for our veterans. So by all means, connect that. One of the things that we've always done for our veterans. We truly believe that our veterans are important. And before we get to that, I do want to recognize, is Keith, where's Keith? He's always here. He's running. He's probably running out checking on people as a trustee. Keith and Dave and, let's see, Barbie, and I think Bill and Jake, I think, is that everybody? Did I get everybody? Okay. In a week's time, they did a lot of work, and we're able to get something that I think is really awesome now. We now have a new nursery and a parent room that if you need some time there, we want that you can spend time. Moms can nurse and do whatever they need there. That's something important. We are growing church the old-fashioned way. It's awesome. We're getting little kids, and they're none of them coming home with me. That's the best part. But we're so thrilled about that. So we want to let you know we have that now for you. It's not any reason. We love the kids. Jesus said, let little children come to me. But we know that sometimes parents just need a place for themselves and want to continue and want to feel part of the church. We heard you and we wanted to be part of that. And for those who did all the work in a week's time and got it turned around, my great thanks to you for everybody else. They did a fantastic job. And if you haven't seen it, it's on this side now. Take a look after church and get a look over there. Now back to our veterans. Our veterans are important to us. So something we wanted to do every year is to recognize the veterans and, as Wayne alluded to, the families of veterans who are in our church. And so if you were a veteran, we're gonna do it the way by honoring. They all have a theme, right? They all have a song. And so if you are, when that song plays for you, just stand up where you are. If you had somebody in your family, we want to stand up and we want to recognize you for that. Ready, Melinda? There we go. Now, if you hear your name, just stand up. Army. Army. awesome. Thank you all for everything that you did in your families and everyone. God bless. Okay, let's give them one more hand. All right. All right, at this time, we're going to continue with our worship.
Today's scripture comes from the Old Testament, Joshua, chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to do battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord had promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly."
Right, here we are. We are on our last week of the series, All In, which again is based in this book. We do not have any more, but you can get that. It's called All In. It's by Mark Batterson if you want to read it a little bit later. Ultimately, it's based in the scripture. And so today we're going to talk about wholeheartedly. How do you wrap up a series on All In? We spent a lot of time talking about several things. Our theme verse for the series has been from Philippians, and it's right here. And it says, "So let us keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision, and you'll see it yet." And that's kind of been the focus of this entire series. And so as I begin thinking, and what's the best way to wrap up this All In series, I started to think about some things. Where do you go with this? And what I came to was something very interesting, is that all is a very hard word. You with me? Like all. Because, like for instance, let's look at this. Loving. Loving's a good word, isn't it? Like loving. Anybody like love? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me no more. God is a good word. God is a good word, right? Are you awake today? Are you frozen? So, God is a good word, right? There you go. Okay. But does anyone really do all of anything? do you think anybody does all of anything? Like, for instance, all is a huge concept. When you look at all, the term is defined as totality, completeness, all-encompassing. And I know my English teacher from high school, if they're looking, are going to be mad at me because you're not supposed to use the word to define the word, all. But it's all-encompassing. And I was thinking, you guys know that I love sports. You know that. It's one of those things. And I started thinking about athletes that, like, when they even when they lose a game, they never just say, gosh, they were, you know, you rarely hear on an interview, gosh, they were just more talented than us and we really stink. They usually say, well, we gave it everything that we had. We left it all on the field or all on the court. When you see a musician, oh, they gave everything. It was a fantastic concert. They really did absolutely everything, gave all that they had. And when we go, we get frustrated when they give us a little bit less than something. Like I heard, some of you may have been a child of the 80s and liked Sting and the Police. Anybody remember them? And I remember that somebody went, when Sting got into this whole jazz kind of thing, and he went and he played none of his music. And everybody was like, what? Okay? It's like one time Prince, as talented as Prince was, one time he did a concert in the complete dark so nobody could see him. And people are like, what am I paying for this for? I can stay home and listen to Prince sing on that way. So we always say when somebody gives something less than what they are capable of doing, we get frustrated by it. And I got to tell you, I wrestle with the concept of going all in for God. I wrestle with it all concept. So I came to this verse from Matthew. That's one that we've talked about tons of times. And it says, love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All of your heart. With how much of your soul? And with how much of your mind? This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. All, how much of the prophet, law and prophets? All the law and prophets hang on these things. Now, I got a problem. My problem is this. If this is the first and greatest commandment, I am in trouble with the ones that come after that. Are you with me? If the first one is to worship God with all, and then love my neighbor as myself, and then everything resides, everything else resides on those first two, I am in trouble. Are you with me? And so it is major when we look at all, when we look at this all thing, in looking at individuals in Scripture, I decided to, how am I going to wrap this up today? And I decided to say, let's look at some individuals in Scripture who have really gone all in through their lives. Let's also look at some others in modern day or in recent modern day from biblical history to find out who we want to look at. And I came to this guy named Caleb. Now, Caleb, we know, We know a little bit of him. Him compared to the rest of the major figures in Scripture, we kind of lose him. He gets lost in the mix of Peter, James, John. He gets lost in the mix of Joshua, who fought the battle of Jericho and everything else. He gets lost in Moses and Aaron and all these others. He gets kind of lost in there. But I'll tell you, what we know about Caleb tells us that he was an all-in kind of guy throughout his whole entire life. And so let me give you a little bit of backstory from the Scripture, and then we'll look at the Scripture. And Wes did a great job of reading all those words, didn't he? He rocked them out today, so that was awesome. But the backstory is the Israelites left Egypt, and they wandered around in the desert for 40 years after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. At one point, when they're outside the promised land that God gave to them, Moses sends 12 spies in the promised land to check out the promised land for 40 days. Yes, that's one of those numbers in Scripture, 40 days. Now, two of them are names that we've heard before. One of them is one that we know a lot about. As a matter of fact, the verse today I choose, as for me and my house, came from one of them. His name is Joshua. Joshua said, I don't care what you're doing, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And so Joshua and Caleb were paired together. According to tradition, many believe that Joshua was about 17 years of age and that Caleb was about 40 years of age. So he was double his age. So Joshua and Caleb are sent in, and they come back, and they give a report, and they say, let's go in, let's take that land that God's gotten to us. The other 10 go ahead and say, there's some big people there, and they will kick our rear ends. I ain't looking and going in that promised land. And Joshua and Caleb are like, let's go. Let's get them. Let's go get them.
So if the ten thought it was too big, they failed to claim the promise that God had given them out of fear. They failed to claim the promise. And all of them wandered around in the desert, and none of them got into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. All died except for those. So 40 years later, God gives them a second chance. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad God gives you a second chance? All right. So we fast forward 45 years. Caleb is the oldest man in Israel by far. He's the old guy. And as I said, so here they are. They were exploring. He is now, anybody can do math? He's 85 years old. He's 85 years old. And this is where we come to the verse of scripture that Wes read for us. And I want to just highlight some of these things up here from Joshua chapter 14. It says that basically what's happening in here, now they're going in and they're starting to separate the land for the people. Now, being the old guy, Joshua should have had the prime pick. You know how you do that? Oh, you've been around longer. Here you go. You know you're in a job. Okay, you've been around longer. Here you go. And you kind of have that kind of situation that exists here. But let's look at the second verse here that says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my own convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in what? Fear will paralyze you. And it paralyzed the people here. Fear. Here's fear that is here. Caleb said, I came to you and I said, Moses, let's go get it. He saw the same people they did. He saw the things that were there and he said, God's promised me this. Let's go get him. He's a 40-year-old man saying, let's go. Let's roll. I'm a 47-year-old man. And the only thing I roll is out of bed, right? So, or if I fell down. But what you see is, one of the things we need to ask ourselves is simply this. Do I let fear or faith dictate my decisions? Do I let fear or faith dictate my decisions? You see, this is the difference between going all in or holding out. And remember what we talked about holding out last week, that our model for holding out has to do with Satan and Judas, right? So what we're saying here is if I'm allowing fear to stump me from what God has promised me, it's the difference between wandering around in the wilderness or receiving the promise of the promised land that God gave them. You know, it was a 4-day trip. And yes, ladies, men were driving on the way. That's why it took that long. They did not stop to ask for directions. Okay, so what happened is they wandered in a wilderness for 40 years when it could have been a 4-day trip. But fear caused them to go around and around and around and caused a lot of problems that some people never, ever, ever saw the promised land or stepped foot in there. Only two of them did. You see, fear is paralyzing. And there's been times in my life where something has paralyzed me. Like, for instance, I hate roller coasters. I despise them. And my family decided, come and get on this roller coaster called Space Mountain. All right? I was not very holy on this ride, I will tell you that right away. And I get in, and do you know, they put you in the dark and run you up and down and around, and the only thing that's holding you is this little bar? Ah! I read the scripture that says, do not put the Lord your God to test. And so Jack is riding this thing, screaming, and I thought I was Fred Flintstone. I'm trying to stop the thing with my feet. I could not wait till I got off there. I was like the Pope. I kissed the ground. It was awesome. But I hate those things, and it paralyzes me. In certain things like that. Has anybody been paralyzed in times of fear? As you do that. People tell me I am missing out on some really good things by getting on those, and I'm cool with it. My promised land is on the ground and reaching for the stars, right? That's where I am. But I will never, ever get the joy of a roller coaster or a super duper looper pooper, whatever it is called. I will never get a joy of that because fear has me keeping my feet on the ground. And there's some of us that because of fear in our lives, we will never be able to soar to the heights that God has intended for us to go to. And so that's why Joshua continues and says, I, however, followed the Lord my God, how much? Wholeheartedly. You know what that means? All in. Wholeheartedly. So that on that day, Moses swore to me, the land which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever. Because, why? Because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive. Now he's in modern day. Now the Lord has kept me alive for these 45 years. Everybody else is dead, but Joshua, I'm still kicking here. I'm 85. It's time for me to pick the land that I want. And then he said, since the time of Moses, when Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today. I am how old? 85 years old. And I am, listen to how he talks. I love this. He says, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me in. Don't you love that? Don't you love where he's just this older guy that just says, you young whippersnappers, I'm going in. I'm going to kick some butt. I'm as bad as I was then. And I'm going to be better today. And guess what? I am just as vigorous to go out and battle now, as I won today. I love this. I love this. Caleb is 85 years old, and he is still talking smack for God. He's saying, I'm strong, and I'm vigorous, and I'm better, and I'm better. I had a lady named Jenny who used to tell me, the older I get, the bolder I get. You know what I mean? And Caleb's saying, you thought I was bad in my 40s. Wait till you see me in my 80s. I'm just more improved, and I got a lot more wisdom. And he said, let's go in. Let's go. I'm all in. There's a guy, there's a friend of mine at the YMCA, and his name's Claire. And Claire is an 85, 86-year-old man, and he goes and works out. And when I'm telling you Claire works out, I'm not saying he just goes in there and does a little thing. Claire comes in, and he will go ahead and do a half an hour on the treadmill, and then he'll get off and he will lift free weights and do leg presses, and I'm talking about, it's amazing to watch him. And then after he's done all his workout, he will get back on the elliptical and go another half an hour. Yes, did I say he's 85, 86 years old? And he laughs, and he is an awesome person, and he just enjoys life. And if I was going to pick somebody to be on my stamina team, I'm grabbing Claire. That same spirit of Caleb rests on Claire and needs to rest on us here today. Oh, that we would have the wholehearted, all-in spirit of Caleb in our lives. You see, the spirit of Caleb is vigorous because his faith never, ever diminished. Not from the point. He was probably ticked for 45 years saying, them suckers wouldn't go in. They're all dead. We could have been in there by now. We could have taken care of this problem. It would have been done. Man, if they had just listened to me and God, we could have taken care of it. And I've been wandering around in this desert. I'm tired. Get me in there. Let me scrap. Let me go. Because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go all in. He wanted to go completely all in. It's like the anthropologist, Ashley Montague. Anybody ever heard of him? Unless you're into anthropologists, I guess you haven't. But he said, I want to die young at a ripe old age. Isn't that cool? I want to die young at a ripe old age. So what did Joshua do? Joshua then says, now's the time. I've been waiting 45 years for this thing. Here we go. And he says, now, give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. I want to let you know something. The people did not leave the promised land in 45 years. They're still there. He's 45 years older. And he said, let's get ready to rumble. He rolls up his sleeves. He chose the land that had the biggest, baddest people in the promised land and said, I've been waiting to give you a whooping for 45 years. Let's go, God. Isn't that cool? Do you not get that? He could have picked anything he wanted, and he asked Joshua, he said, give me the hill country, I'm going to get you, sucker. That's what he wanted to do. All these years later, 40, he was tough, and his faith is strong. 85, he's tougher, and his faith is stronger. His faith is stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. You see, it seems like this battle has, and the potential of this battle has energized Caleb in a way that he never, ever, ever has, ever, ever been. You see, the spirit of Caleb is awesome because it embraces the difficult struggle for God's glory. Somewhere along the line in the last several centuries in Christianity, we believe that life should get easier because we're on God's side. And as I read the scripture, for anybody who followed the Lord, it seems that sometimes in this world to get a little bit more difficult. And there is a benefit that we look at struggle wrong. We look at struggle that when we go through things, we say, why is God doing this to me? Why is this? You know, he never promised he was going to pull us out until he pulls us out, right? Until he raptures us and takes us home. He never promised that. But he said, he actually promised the opposite. He said, in this world you will have, but, big but here, take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, when you go all in for God, the little things in the world don't matter. The things that you think are big in the world don't matter because you can take heart that no matter what happens, Jesus has overcome the world. And if you're on his side and all in, it doesn't matter. You're just passing through in the first place. Anybody listening today? Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we go. We have this guy who is all in. We have Caleb who's all in. And I want to share a brief story here about this church in Colorado. It was a congregation that about 30 years ago, and there was about 80 folks, and they got a young pastor who had a great vision for the community and the church. And many of the people in the church were in the marketplace, and there was this, some would be carpenters, some would be contractors and lawyers, but this one person, a man and his wife, they had a hair salon, and this man tended to be a natural evangelist. He was just a good news guy. He would just talk to people about the love of Christ. He could talk about hairstyles and pizza and sports, but somehow Jesus always made it in there. And there was a number from the university that was there that used to come in and get their hair done and some other things there. And one of them was particularly sharp person, and she was a leader, and they were having a conversation one day, and she had lunch, and they were talking about his church. And pretty soon they got to the end of the conversation where this girl said, could I visit that place with you? And he said, I don't think you want to do that. She said, no, I'd really like to. He said, okay, so she came to church that Sunday. Now, let's call her Jane. And what I didn't tell you about this is Jane was a student, and she was, I remember I said she was a leader? She was a lead dancer at a nightclub. She was an exotic dancer at this club, and she called the pastor on Thursday after visiting church and said, I got this book I went to hear you talk about the other day, meaning the Bible, and I've read all the way through it and some parts. I've read two or three times and have a couple questions. And she said, there's this part in 1 Corinthians. It says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm bought with a price. Do you believe that? He said, yes, I do. She said, well, if that's true, I probably shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But the reason why I'm doing it is I'm a pre-law student, and I'm saving money for law school. And if guys are stupid enough to pay money to come see half-naked women, then I'm smart enough to take that money and get through law school. She said, this Matthew person said that God cares for the lilies of the field, and if he cares for them, then he can take care of me, and I shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Do you believe that? She said. And he said, yes, I do. And she said, then I'm all in. What do I do? He stumbled around a little bit, didn't expect this. And he said, well, you know, baptism is one of those signs of a profession of faith that you have in Christ, and we're having a baptismal service on Sunday night. So it was interesting. She told people from the club what was going to happen, so they shut down the strip club, and she came in, and all the dancers and two bouncers came walking down the center aisle while this girl was going to go ahead and get baptized in this really conservative church. Can you picture it? Literally, some of the wives were hugging their husbands closer and putting their hands over their eyes. And that night, several of her dancer friends gave their lives to Jesus. And she said, I love you. Always know I love you. I'm not making a judgment about you. I just can't do this. I can't go in this direction anymore. Overnight, the walls came down. And word got on the street that no matter who you were or what you did, you were welcome in this church. One day, an older lady in the church found the pastor in the hall and walked up to him and said, "Pastor, you have ruined this church." He said, "I know, and I don't know what to do. What should we do?" So they sat down and they had a talk. And he said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know any of these young women?" She said, "No." He said, "You know, most of them have never had anybody like you in their life. If you'd have one over for a piece of cake or a meal or something, that'd be great." So they kept talking, and at the end of 30 minutes, he said, "So, Mrs. Jones, what do you think we ought to do?" She sat there and thought for a moment and said, "Well, I guess we'll just have to love them." And now thousands of people are part of that congregation, and they look back to a pivotal moment when one lady said, "I'm all in, and I'm there." And one other lady said, "I guess we'll just have to love them." And more importantly, one man who cut hair shared the love of Jesus Christ. You see, this is what the church is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a place for those who are sick in their soul, who don't know Jesus. If you've got it all together, church is the wrong place for you. You should be already in heaven sitting on a cloud. The other thing that we learn is the ultimate language of all in, of an all-in person is this. It has to do with living, and it has to do with dying. It has to do with living and dying. You say, "What are you talking about, Jack?" A little while ago, I spoke on Ruth. You remember like a couple series ago, I talked about Ruth. And Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she had this, her husband died. And then Naomi said to her and her other daughters, "Orpah, go. Go, you can go ahead and leave me, that's fine." And there's this incredible statement that Ruth says about the love that she had for her and for God. And she says, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you stop, I'll live. Your God will be my God. When you die, I'll die. My bones will be next to you." That is all in. It's living and dying. She had an all-in commitment. In this day and age where commitments last quicker than a commercial, we don't understand what all-in means fully. This is what the Apostle Paul said about all-in in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, keep in mind Paul is in prison, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. In other words, I'm sitting in prison, and they want to kill me, and it's not good, but I don't care because it's going to advance the gospel. And he said, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without what? Fear. Without fear. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now as Christ will be exalted in my body, and here we go, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whether we are living or if our life comes to an end, we are the Lord's when we go all in. All in means all. All means all. Everybody say all means all. It knows how to live well and to die well, no matter regardless of the situation. To know how to live well and die well is to be wholehearted. And so what I want to do for the next several minutes as we close this series is it's easy to talk about people who are in the pages of Scripture, isn't it? Like we kind of feel like, all right, well, they're the big guys in stained glass and the Bible. So, of course, we expect them to. But I want to share with you some people who I believe displayed what all in really is. Number one, I think it's very fitting for today. June 6th, 1944, D-Day. When you see this picture, there was nobody holding on. People went all in on that beach. All in. And many of the first wave, as many people said, that first wave, many of them never survived. Some people dropped off in an area that was too deep and they drowned before they ever got to the beach. Others were shot. Others were carried on the beach by their friends and watched them die. But it became the turning point for many in the war. Young men were all in. They were 18, 19, and 20-year-old men. Andy Rooney, who many of you know as that curmudgeon on 60 Minutes, at the time was a young reporter that showed up 3 days after D-Day. And he said, "There are few 24-hour periods in human history that can cause the change of course of human history. But June 6, 1944 was one of those." They were all in. All in. What about this picture here? This picture here, the people known as the Ecuador Five. The Ecuador Five, here they are up here, Jim Elliott, Ed McCauley, Roger Uterin, Pete Fleming, and Nate Saint. One was a former paratrooper, a football player, a pilot, a small college wrestling champ, and a scholar. Three went to Wheaton College, and two were from Seattle Pacific. They were in their 20s and 30s, and they had an incredible love for God, an incredible call to mission. And so together they got in an airplane, and they began to lower gifts down to the Ayuca Indians in Ecuador, people in a remote area. And they would lower down things for them, and several days they would give them gifts. And they kept doing it to form this relationship. They formed this relationship from the sky to the ground, and they would give gifts. And one day, when the bucket was down there, they emptied out the gifts, one of the Yuka Indians, went ahead and put in his own gifts for them. And they took it up. And so they decided, as Jim Elliott had written in his journal, "Lord, please send me to the Yuka Indians. Send me to them." It was his prayer. The sixth time after they got a gift from them, they decided that 2 months later, after they kept doing this, they would go ahead and they would land the plane on the beach. And they land the plane on the beach and they built a treehouse. And it was all to share with this remote tribe the love of Jesus Christ. And so after several days, two women and a man came out, and they began to nickname the guy George, and they began to form a relationship, and he wanted to go in the airplane. And so they took him up in an airplane, and they flew over top of his village, and he began to yell at the window at them and wave, and they came back down, and he went back, and everything seemed to be really good, and he thanked God so much for it. Several days went, and they noticed that they hadn't invited them back to their village, and then they got up on a Sunday morning, and he was talking to his wife, and he said, "I really believe that today is going to be a great day for God and our relationship with him." Several men came out, and it wasn't a great day that we would see. These men from the tribe went ahead and had spears, and they attacked and killed all five of these men, leaving them dead on the beach in the water. Now, here's the other thing that many of us don't know. Every one of these men had guns. And they made a conscious effort that they recognized that if they had shot back, they would never reach any of this tribe for the kingdom of God. So they laid down their lives for the cause of Christ and died right there. One of the men who died, his father was a very big man, and he was angry, and he was hurt. And he decided, and what's really interesting, Jim Elliott's wife and several others went back to this community. And they went and they lived out there. The father went, he was angry, and he got there, and he saw what he believed that was one of the men who killed him. And he went up to him, and he wrapped his arms around him, and he said, "I love you in Jesus' name." Today, that entire tribe are Christians. And one of the men who actually killed Nate Saint goes around with his son and talks about the goodness of God. He said, I have killed 12 men with a spear. But I did that when my heart was black, before I knew the love of Jesus Christ. They went all in. What about this? I want to share this. Jim Elliot wrote in his journal, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Thousands of people joined the missionary field because of them. And they actually had a movie several years ago called End of the Spear. Let me share with you this person here. Anybody ever heard of William Borden? Well, William Borden was the heir to the Borden Dairy. Anybody have Borden milk? He was born in 1887. And they were the largest supplier at that time of dairy and pasta. And at 8 years old, he went to a church in Chicago named after the great Dwight L. Moody, Moody Bible Church, and he accepted Christ. At the age of 16, his father sent him on a world trip to tell people so he could get a look and see what the world was really like. And at that, William, or Billy as they called him, was touched by the poverty and pain that existed in the world, and he felt a call to reach those people. He later, after he graduated, went to Yale, and as he was at Yale, he started a prayer group with his friend named Charlie. In his senior year at Yale, there was 1,300 people there, and 1,000 of them were involved in prayer groups or Bible studies, and it said all because he had said yes to Jesus in Moody Church at the age of 8. He heard the calls of the gospel, and a missionary talked about the need for people to know Christ in China. So Borden answered the call, and here's the newspaper article that was in there, and it says, youth worth $5 million. Now, you add that to today's standards, he was extremely, extremely wealthy. Look what it says. Youth worth $5 million to bury himself a missionary. He said, before I go to China, I want to go to Cairo and learn Arabic so I can share the news of Jesus Christ. And while he was there, after a couple months sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, he got meningitis and he died at the age of 25 years old. A friend of his from Yale heard about this and he said, I have absolutely no feeling of a life cut short. A life abandoned to Christ cannot be cut short. Cut short means not complete, interrupted, and we know that our master does not do halfway jobs. Borden's Bible was sent to his mother. And in three different places, at three different times, there were three different quotes that said this. No retreat, no reserves, no regrets. Say that with me. No retreat, no reserves, and no regrets. You see, he was all in. He was all in. What about us? What about your life? I accepted Christ at the age of 5 years old at an altar in Christ Church, Fredericksburg. And I would love to sit here and tell you all that I have been all in every step of the way, but I would be lying in the front of the church, and I'm not going to do that. But I do have a good illustration of what I believe God wants as I close this today. And it's simply this. When my kids were little, I remember whether they would be jumping on a couch, some of them were more daredevils than others. You know how you have that? Or whether it was on the side of a pool or something. And you know how that you would be standing there, and all of a sudden, they'd say, Daddy, and you'd turn around, and they'd be in midair. And you just had to catch them. I never just let them hit the ground. I never moved. Don't do that again, right? I never did that. Why? Because I'm their daddy. You see, when they leapt off of those things, they trusted me fully to catch them, and they didn't halfway jump. They went all in. You know, if you ever see somebody jump to somebody and they go halfway, they usually get hurt. I'm gonna argue right now for you the reason why we have so much hurt, the reason why we have so much pain, the reason why we experience suffering in a way God never intended and we never can rise above it, is because maybe we're just trying this Christian thing, this relationship with Christ, but we're holding on and we're getting hurt. You have a daddy who loves you and he wants you to jump all in. And guess what? If you would jump all in missionary work, I'm going to tell you, you may die. But as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to tell you something. Every single one of us are passing through here. Our relationship with Christ depends on where we go after this. All in's not just a cute little statement that we're doing. I want to see a church. I want to mess up our church, much like that church in Colorado. I want to see Haven truly be a place where the people who nobody else in Christendom wants, we open our arms and accept. And we just tell ourselves, hey, it may be messed up for what we think, church, but I guess we're just going to have to love them. There's a lot of people out here that need love. It starts with you. Here today, this may be your all-in moment. This may be your William Borden moment where you today say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to answer the call on my life. I'm going to take the milk money and put it back, and that's a heck of a lot of milk money. But who is Christ calling you to be here today? Life has got to be more than what we're experiencing. Don't you agree? It has to be more than just the ups and downs. If Jesus promised life and abundantly, and this is it, I'm not looking forward to heaven if it's just more of this. But oh, I serve a risen Savior. And I know that he promised me more than this. I know that I need to be like that little boy who gave his lunch money and his lunch that he had. I need to be that, like that lady who dumped out the perfume. I need to be like Caleb and not say, hey, I'm 85, my time's done, I've done my stuff. I need to say, I am just as strong and just as cranky and just ready to go whoop some butt for Jesus that I ever could be. I can't answer that for you. I only have enough trouble answering for me. Today is a call for this. Are you ready to go all in? Because if we look at the world, if the world looks at us, can they say we are going some in? Can they even say we're going a little bit in? Can they say we're dancing between two worlds, between salt water and warm water and back and forth? Or are we fully going forward for Christ Jesus? D-Day was fought with 18, 19-year-old, and 20-year-old men who gave the ultimate price to go home. We are in the Lord's army. We got to go all in because Satan's coming all at us. Let's stand. This is about you and God time. Has nothing to do with me. My voice is shot because I yelled at a regional volleyball game yesterday. God gave me enough to sing and to share what he wants. I'm done. The rest of it's going to be gone tonight in the other game. But I want to tell you, we need to shout out to the Lord, all the earth. Here's praises. Amen.
For I spoke a word.
Just think about those words, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He loves you so much. Remember when you were like first in love? You'd do anything to see him, talk to him, hear their voice, send them a card, a letter. You guys don't remember that? We might have to do a marriage series, okay? So, a relationship series. But he loves you. You are the joy of his life. And he just wants more of you. All the mess that it is, he just wants more of you. Just because the time ends, there's people still around to pray with you if you don't want to do the whole upfront thing. We're getting close to Thanksgiving, right? Anybody like Thanksgiving? Isn't it awesome? It's awesome. I'm glad that heaven's going to be a big Thanksgiving feast all the time. And so we are going to go around the table. Okay, that's going to be our next series, Around the Table, Reclaiming Mealtime and Setting the Table for God. That's our next brief series. So sound good? All right, so go all in. Everybody say all in.
All in.
All in. Go. Go from here. You're the Jim Elliots and the people of tomorrow. Have a fun week.
Letting go of every single dream.